It worked! The day big unit worked!
We're through the looking glass here, people.
Did you hear something?
No.
Did I?
I don't know.
It's Simpsons time. Today we're going to talk about Lisa the Greek, which is the episode where Homer and Lisa bond because they are betting on football together. Football season has started, so I thought that that might be a fun thing to talk about. This was directed by Rich Moore. I especially love in the beginning Homer sitting in front of the TV eating many snacks at the same time from many different bags. And, you know, his arms sort of being windmill-like. Rapidly grabbing snacks. Compulsively from many different bags and conveying them to his mouth. And one of the snacks is called Salt Doodles. And it's written by Jay Kogan and Wally Walidarsky, who I talked about a couple weeks ago. They also did the Samantha Stanky episode, which I love. And, you know, it's really good. The idea, I'll say this, when I talk about earlier Simpsons episodes, I want to say all the way up through season four, I can't help talking about the history of The Simpsons and how these early ones paved the way for character development that exists today and was seen in a much more stable, robust incarnation right around sort of the what I consider the golden age, seasons 5 through 10 or so. I know my perception of when the golden age starts is a little later than a lot of people's. So I want to talk about that when talking about this episode just a little bit. You can see the way being paved for two whole episodes that really, I think, sprung right up out of this. One of them is undisputably Lisa versus Malibu Stacy, because there is Malibu Stacy stuff that happens in this episode. She starts with her little shoebox studio apartment for Malibu Stacy that Homer ignores. And after Lisa is mad at Homer for just using her as a gambling aid, she realizes how hollow all of her ill-gotten Malibu Stacy accessories that he has bought for her really are, and she throws them all away. And in that, you see that Malibu Stacy has an Alfa Romeo and a collagen injection clinic and a chinchilla coat. And she gives away all that stuff, sort of right in the crisis moment of the action of the episode, and puts Stacy back in her studio apartment. That's like, I mean, I would argue that Lisa versus Malibu Stacy comes whole cloth out of that little detail from Lisa the Greek. And the other episode that I think might have been born out of this is Homer's Triple Bypass, which comes in the next season. And it's because right after that piece of animation that I mentioned that I love, of him rapidly eating, Marge comes in and says, "That is not good for your heart." And we actually do see a cutaway to the inside of Homer's body, and we see the heart with the blockage actually going into it. And he says, "A little beer will put that right." This is such a sweet episode. The idea of Homer and Lisa being at odds because of Lisa's strong moral sensibilities and Homer's very weak ones is not a new one, not even by this point, because... what is it called? The stealing cable episode has already happened. Is it Lisa versus the Eighth Commandment? Or I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it has a long title like that. Do I have to do this all over again? So that idea is being piggybacked off of from the earlier Lisa objecting to cable, which happened in season two. But there are definitely little, like, fun family moments that really let us revel in the world of The Simpsons now that it is an established show. Now that we are well into the third season and the show is very, very popular and very loved by every home in America, it seemed to me at that point. I don't know exactly when was the absolute peak popularity of The Simpsons, but I would guess that it was sometime between season two and season three, somewhere in there. And yeah, they can do no wrong. So they're really having a lot of fun with the characters. Mo is a bookie here. And we see, you know, another facet of Mo's sleaziness and also his desire to do any underhanded means of getting money. He has a lot of side gigs, and being a bookie, it's very believable for him to be a bookie, and for him to wear ornate cowboy boots that we don't ever see again that he has to dump out to give Homer his wad of bills that he asks for once Lisa starts tipping him off and he starts doing very well at the football gambling. Of course, a little shotgun and a cudgel come out as well. I like those cowboy boots on Mo. I wonder what happened to them. He has also one of my favorite lines in the episode, maybe my favorite, when he has his first appearance in the episode. Homer calls him on the phone and he answers, "Moe's Tavern, where the peanut bowl is freshened hourly," which is so good. Such a wonderful thing for him to be proud of. And just such a funny line. There's all this great stuff of the various people on TV who predict things. There is the character Smooth Jimmy Apollo, who is Jimmy the Greek, basically, and Lisa the Greek is named after that. You know, a real person that they are parodying there. And Smooth Jimmy Apollo is bad at making predictions, and he's, like, really, really... a funnily drawn character with his, like, cigar and white hair and glasses and croaky voice, done by Phil Hartman, who was also in there to do Troy McClure very briefly. Troy McClure really pops up many, many times in episodes that you would not think that he does because he is just incidental. And they really loved all of the aspects of not just football, but watching football on TV. they loved milking this, you can tell. You know, Homer being a lower middle class everyman, you know, upper lower middle class type, loves his football, just like Al Bundy did, just like Archie Bunker did. And in the closing credits, even, there's a band, you know, marching band version. Of the Simpsons theme. And that is also riffing and riffing and riffing on the idea of football. When they are finally watching the Super Bowl at the end of the episode, I always love the how into it all of the patrons at Moe's Tavern are. They're into not just the game, but the Duff Bowl, where Duff, you know, the bottles of Duff are competing against Duff Dry. And Barney's like, oh, you know, they're both great teams. Like, ah, you know, Duff Dry, they just wanted it more. Like, they all really, really love that. So Homer bets on football, which Marge doesn't know about. Lisa is sad that she can't connect with Homer because she doesn't really like football, and he doesn't really like Malibu Stacy and her studio apartment. So she has a conference with Marge, who is bathing Maggie in the sink. I love the moment when Bart puts a plate in the sink next to Maggie, and that sort of ends the scene. Marge tells her, you know, maybe you can find a way to like what he's into if he's not into your thing. And so she does, and she finds out, and she and Homer both find out that she's got a talent for picking who's going to win the game. And she helps him win a lot of money from Mo, who is understandably resentful. And Lisa herself doesn't object to the gambling at this point. She just really likes having daddy-daughter day, which is what Sunday has become. And Homer comes into lots of money because of this, and he buys people in the family presents. He buys Marge a perfume bottle shaped like an Oscar statue, which is called Meryl Streep's Versatility, and various other stuff, you know, items for the kids. And Bart's present is one of those keychains that says, "Shut up, shut up, you're an asshole." Except, of course, it says, like, "Go to hell, shut up." Bart, merely a supporting character in this particular episode, says multiple times how much he loves his gift, and he uses it. Marge gets suspicious. She learns that Homer is gambling because he finally confesses it to her, and she disapproves of it. She wants him to stop. At the same time, the Super Bowl is coming up, and at the dinner table, Lisa discovers that there will be no more Daddy-Daughter Day after football season is over. She gets really indignant. And I think she gets indignant, like, rather fast. He's like, oh, yeah, I promised Barney the week after the Super Bowl that I would hang out with him. And she's like, what? What about Daddy-Daughter Day? But I guess there needed to be some way for her to become indignant. And the very last game, the Super Bowl, Homer does not bet on because he's so upset. But he just is still very invested in it because Lisa has said that Washington will win. However, she might, her gambling sense might be so clouded by her anger at him that the opposing team, Buffalo, might win instead. So if Washington wins, she still loves Dad. And of course, she still loves Dad. Surprise, surprise. Does anyone on the playlist right now know the name of the guy who hangs out in Moe's, who doesn't work at the power plant, who wears a trucker hat? I am not one of these super duper sticklers who knows his name. And maybe he doesn't have a name. I am not sure if he has a name or not. He has one of his only lines in the entire series here at the very end, when they're all at Moe's watching the Super Bowl. And Homer is like so anguished, and he goes, "Oh, what do you got riding on this game?" Homer goes, "My daughter." And he goes, the trucker hat guy goes, "Ah, what a gambler." You know, he's like very happy. And his voice is similar to Moe's, I'm realizing right now. A couple other just tiny little things that I should discuss. In the conversation when Homer and Barney agree to hang out the week after the Super Bowl, which doesn't ultimately happen because he and Lisa love each other again, and so she forces him to hike. and that's how the episode ends. Barney says that his mother is coming in from Norway. And that's the only time we hear of Barney's mother. I think it's interesting that Barney's mother lives in Norway. And the last thing I'll mention is there is a scene when the whole family is out to dinner at a fancy restaurant. I don't think it's the Gilded Truffle. I think in a later episode it would be the Gilded Truffle, but we just see the inside of the dining room. And I like how the whole family are all misbehaving there. Like, they're teasing the waiter. Homer makes the violinist do Broken Neck Blues for Lisa. And they all, like, Marge included, the whole family is sort of like giggling at that and making a slight scene in the fancy restaurant. And to me, that's sort of a Bob's Burgers type moment, or even Malcolm in the Middle, which, as I've said before, Kogan and Wolodarski went on from The Simpsons to write for. Mr. Brian P. Dermody saves our bacon and says that the trucker hat guy is named Sam. So thanks, Brian. And that will be the end of Simpsons Time, because that was quite enough of that. Thank you for listening to Simpsons Time, as always. The song is Go Down Gambling by Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Sorry to hear about sweat. So wonderful to be with you this week for another Simpsons Time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. Just appending to what I already said, I would say that as far as the whole family making a scene, a slight scene in the fancy restaurant, Roseanne would be another sitcom where that would happen. And yeah, you know, I do these things, you know, it's just me in a room talking extemporaneously. So sometimes I do forget things like the title, Homer versus Lisa and the Eighth Commandment. It doesn't seem like a super hard thing to remember, but it can be, you know, when you're trying to keep a lot of different balls in the air of what to talk about and what not to talk about. She said apologetically. My name's Amanda. It is wonderful to be joined by you today, as always. Thank you for the emails and the comments and all of the fun stuff. Keep them up. I'll talk to you next week. Bye. By that lady over there. Honey, I'm just a natural gambler, but I